From high above all other primitive vermicular-type life forms in the Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another installment of Morning Reload on Cowboy State Politics. This is the segment of the program where we give you a little Monday morning ammunition to use against those liberal irritants that would interrupt your morning coffee and believe in stupid stuff like global warming and mandatory mask wearing. Well, congratulations, my friends. No longer are you conspiracy theorists. Nope, the mandatory vaccines are here. I'm sure you're just as excited about it as I am. So we'll talk about that this morning, and it has been brought to my attention that we haven't done nearly enough history on the program lately, so we'll rectify that as well. But first, some totally obscene self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work, but the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you don't know anything, well, then you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself like you should have been doing the last 40 years, but didn't. Morning Reload is brought to you by our sponsor, Morton Buildings. It's July, and right now is the time to be putting up a building to store all of your fancy toys in. That way you don't have to try to build stuff in the winter. It's much less pleasant then. But really, you need a place to store all of your four-wheelers and your boat and all of those great and expensive toys that you use all summer long. And Morton Buildings are the guy to do it. Whether it's a small outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or any other type of building, Nick and Jesse are the guys to do that for you. You can call them at 307-674-2532 or check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Couple of announcements. On Wednesday, July 28th at the Bummer Mountain Civic Center, there will be an information session put on by the Patriot Conservatives of Johnson County concerning the bond proposal that will be on the August 17th ballot. I strongly encourage you to come and check that out, as we'll have lots of information about what this bond is and what it isn't and the numerous reasons that you should vote against it. So come check that out. Also on Wednesday, we'll have a conversation with two-time former County Assessor Cindy Barlow. It's a great discussion about how your property taxes are determined in the state of Wyoming and why they're so complicated and why it doesn't have to be that way. So check out our conversation on Wednesday's program. It's really, really is fascinating. All right, on with the program. Aren't you just excited that you're not a conspiracy theorist anymore? I mean, I am. All this time, we've been saying that there's going to be mandatory vaccines, and unless you're vaccinated, you're not going to be able to do a whole bunch of stuff. Well, chances are, if you work for the medical community in Casper, Wyoming, specifically at Wyoming Medical Center, well, you're going to have an opportunity to find brand new employment come November 1st. Well, that's if you don't want to get the vaccine. According to the Oil City News on July the 20th, quote, Banner Health, which owns the Wyoming Medical Center, will require all employees to get vaccinated against COVID-19 by November the 1st. Banner said on Tuesday, July 20th, that they have notified employees that they must be fully vaccinated by November 1st as a condition of employment. Banner employs about 52,000 people across their network. Quote, Banner Health is implementing this requirement for several reasons, including the rise of the Delta variant and the pending lift of the emergency use authorization by the Food and Drug Administration, the need to protect its patients and workforce, and to prepare for the flu season, the press release states. In addition, national data shows that 97% of hospitalizations and 99% of COVID-19 deaths are in the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated horde. Okay, that was my little editorial insert on that last part. Now, you might say that Banner Health and the Wyoming Medical Center is a private organization, and since Wyoming has a right-to-work state, that they could require that of their employees. But there's a little issue with the Wyoming Constitution. Article 1, Section 38 of the Wyoming Constitution states that, quote, "Each competent adult shall have the right to make his or her own health care decisions. The parent, guardian, or legal representative, or any other natural person shall have the right to make health care decisions for that person." So there's the Health Care Freedom Amendment, and you would think, since it's in the state constitution, that that would be the end of the story. But it's not in this case. You see, Wyoming is a right-to-work state, so that means that you could be hired or fired for any reason whatsoever. Well, truth is, you don't even have to be given a reason to be fired. Add on top of that, that Governor Mark Gordon signed an executive order saying that there won't be any mandatory vaccines or vaccine passports in the state of Wyoming. It would appear that we're at a bit of a loggerheads over this whole mess. On the one hand, you have Banner Healthcare that says everybody's going to be vaccinated. And on the other hand, you have the Wyoming Constitution and Governor Gordon saying, no, I don't think that's going to happen. But the reality is, right now, there are several hundred Wyoming citizens that are facing almost certain dismissal on November the 1st if they don't want to get the vaccine. And secondly, their rights guaranteed to them by the Wyoming Constitution are under attack from a private employer, something that our Constitution is to protect us from. Probably the first thing that needs to be done in this situation is Governor Gordon needs to explain to Banner Health that there is an executive order in place banning mandatory vaccines and mandatory vaccine passports. Secondly, the legislature needs to square the right-to-work law with the Wyoming Constitution, Article 1, Section 38. Really, this whole situation is yet another one of the unknowns that came along with the pandemic or the virus or whatever you want to call it. But in any case, we've got to make sure that that right-to-work law lines up with the Constitution. And finally, above all, we need to protect the jobs of those several hundred Wyoming workers that are facing termination on November the 1st should they choose not to get a vaccine, which is their absolute right to do that under the Wyoming Constitution. Remember that absolute arbitrary power exists nowhere in a republic, not even in the largest majority, or in the Wyoming Medical Center. Next, it's been brought to my attention that we haven't been doing enough history on the program, and I couldn't agree more. So I thought this morning we would do a little history of the 1% tax in Johnson County. So right now in Johnson County, sales tax is 6% because we have the optional fifth penny, and then we have a special use tax that brings our sales tax up to 6. So where I'm interested this morning is in the first optional 1% tax. There's so many of these 1% taxes, it's hard to keep them straight. But really, when the 1% tax was put into law, it was for communities to use for the building of infrastructure, roads, sidewalks, water, sewer, those sorts of things. Well, that's its intended purpose. But since then, things have sort of changed a little bit, so I thought it might be interesting to look and see exactly what those taxes are supposed to do. And you can find that in Article 16, Section 6 of the Wyoming Constitution. Quote, "Neither the state nor any county, city, township, town, school district, or any other subdivision shall loan or give its credit or make donations to or in aid of any individual, association, or corporation." So that means that a city, town, county, any of those things shouldn't be giving money to private individuals or to corporations. Now, what could be a corporation? No, I know one. All 501c3s or nonprofits are corporations. Wait a minute. In Johnson County, all sorts of 1% funds are given to these nonprofits. Now, how could that be? So again, looking back at the Wyoming Constitution, that Article 16, Section 6 of the Constitution prohibits a political subdivision from making a donation to a corporation. Because a nonprofit foundation is a corporation, such a transfer would be unconstitutional. So every time you see that big list of nonprofits that received 1% funds in the Buffalo Bulletin, all of that is unconstitutional. The reason why it's still happening is really nobody's challenged it yet. So here's some 1% fun facts about Johnson County. The 1% sales tax started in about 1979 when voters approved it on the school election ballot. It was again approved in the general election in 1980, 1982, 84, 86, 88, and 90. Now, the tax was originally asked for a build to build the new sewage treatment plant east of Buffalo that was demanded by state and federal regulations. It was advertised as a way to accomplish needed projects in our city and county. Now, the money was used to pay for this new sewage treatment facility, and then for city and county projects like street improvements, curb and gutter, water mains, a new fire station, sewer lines to the fairgrounds, machinery at the road and bridge, etc. The town of KC also used their share of the money in a similar fashion. Now, the state demands that this tax appear on every ballot at every election until or unless it's defeated. However, in the early 90s, the county commissioners discovered a legal loophole in a state law and passed a resolution to keep the tax forever without the voters' approval. So in 28 years, the 5% penny has not been on the ballot. I guess you could say it's a permanently optional tax. So really, the last time this fifth penny was ever used for any civic improvement was in like 1988 or 1990. Since then, it's been used to bolster the city and county budgets, and it's been used to give money to nonprofits. In the last 30 years, millions of your tax dollars have been used to support organizations, clubs, businesses, and other entities without the approval of taxpayers, all of which has been unconstitutional. And frankly, the only reason it's still going on is it hasn't been challenged yet, because it's blatantly unconstitutional. So why do I bring all this up? Because tax advocates always say, well, we are going to follow the rules. The rules say this. We can't break the rules. The rules are important. All of this BS. Well, there are rules for the fifth penny tax, and they're written into the Wyoming Constitution, and we break those every single year. So why should we believe that any rules that are set forth for this seventh 1% tax are going to be any different? If you're breaking them in one area, why should we believe that you're not going to break them in another? And it's not because we believe what you say. Speaking of what they say, on Saturday's edition of Weekend Update, we exposed some exclusive audio that was obtained by Cowboy State Politics. Just so you don't forget, again, here's Rick Myers.
And the sales tax, to me, is far and away the best way to pay for anything. I would say that we should have 10% sales tax in Buffalo.
Did you get that? If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And the mile they want is 10% sales tax. Yeah, well, the nice thing about the internet is once something is out there, it's a bit like trying to put the genie back in the bottle. So, since that's the case, let me show you who else was involved in this whole conversation that we released on Saturday. One of the main things I hear from just about everybody I talk to about this little bond issue is all of these entities, all of these projects that they're wanting to tax us for, ought to stand on their own, and they should have been put on the ballot individually. Well, here is Buffalo City Councilman Scott Madsen explaining why they didn't do that.
I think it is easier to get passed as a package deal. That you may be strongly in favor of 5 of the 10 items and don't dislike 2 of them, but you'll vote for it because of the ones you're in favor of. And the benefit of getting a single bond issue at the start, you get that $20 million immediately.
This is a practice called vote buying. Give you something that you want, so you'll vote for something that you wouldn't normally vote for. Now, don't let Councilman Madsen try to weasel out of this and explain himself away. He was in this JOCO First meeting, and he was participating in the discussion. I've posted the entire audio clip at cowboystatepolitics.com. In this next piece of audio, this is Councilman Scott Madsen explaining how they're going to market this whole package to us and get us to vote for things that we wouldn't normally vote for. He's responding to a question from Rick Myers. Take a load of this one.
Are you willing to go to the poll and actually vote a tax upon yourself? You know, for the benefit of these items. You know, that's the piece to me that you have to get people willing to do that.
And I was shocked that we were 63 or 4% voted in support of the roads, the street six-penny tax. We were wondering if it's going to pass. I was thinking 52, 53% just barely squeaked by library passed at 50.05%. It just barely squeaked by. But yeah, people, the road tax showed us that people are willing to put their money where their mouth is and invest in this community. And
yeah,
the beauty of having 10 different organizations on here, every organization on this list can market to their members and market the program from their perspective, how it solves their problem in their facility. And then in addition, while they're doing that, they can say, well, it helps us, it can also help these other people too. And we've got multiple people on here that could help market it. And from every different perspective, we can reach 80% of town just from that. We reach all the YMCA people, all the senior people, all the museum people, all the fairgrounds people. We have all these distinct groups of people that normally don't collaborate as much, but through this process, we can reach a lot more people. And I think the bond would pass easily. I think I foresee 75% or more in favor of it on the vote. I think it's a matter of let's push this forward. I believe the city and county have to approve a resolution first in the town's KC, but yeah, we can get that going fairly soon and we can get the ballot request written and maybe hit August or November election this year.
Now, do you like being marketed to vote a tax on yourself like they just said? I don't, and I'm pretty sure you don't either. Now, let's just have no illusions here. This is marketing, and it's vote buying, and they're trying to get you to vote for something that you wouldn't normally be in support of. That's why they put all these projects together. But let's have no illusions about what they're trying to do in this bond election. And we'll have more of this discussion on Wednesday's episode. Don't forget about the Wednesday night meeting at the Bummer Mountain Civic Center at 6 o'clock. We're going to be discussing this whole bond issue and the reasons why you shouldn't vote for it. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.